Hey everybody, welcome back to Control T. I'm Henry Picavet.
I'm Megan Rose Dickey.
Hey Megan.
What up?
How you doing?
Doing pretty well.
It's been a minute.
A little bit. It hasn't been that long.
We skipped a week. Let's be honest, we skipped a week.
In a way.
We're recording in the same week, but we skipped a week. It was, you were busy. We're both very busy. You were traveling and writing a bunch, and I had another wedding to go to. It would have been probably good to take the recorder to the wedding. It was a mariachi band.
It would have been, yeah, good natty sound.
Yeah. But so next time.
Yeah.
Next time there's a mariachi band. So we're going to talk about a few things today. That movie company is back.
Right.
In the news. The
Cinemoid.
Cinemia.
Cinemoid? Yeah.
Did I get it?
Well, it's Cinemia.
No, it's not, because there's no accent.
True that.
So nobody knows that that's how it's supposed to be pronounced. So Cinemia. Got it again. Rights its wrongs. We'll tell you about that in a minute. Tinder becomes a bit more creepy, and so does Amazon. So let's jump into this movie company, your favorite movie company in the whole world. So it's not really a movie company. It's a movie services.
Right.
Movies as a service.
Huh. Yeah, that's totally what it is.
Mass.
Movies as a service. Totally. Mass.
You heard it here first. So... you all heard us talk about this before. MoviePass is having problems. This company, Cinemia, comes back and it's like, oh, we have better prices, more affordable prices. We let you hook up your tickets online, but we're going to give you a card. And that's how we do it. You want to take it over from here, Megan?
Well, okay, so both give you cards. That's not...
Yeah, but MoviePass is like... Right? They failed. They're failing.
They're failing because they let people see way too many movies per month. But also, what generally sucks about them is that they don't allow advanced ticketing. So that's... So between the cheaper prices with Cinemia and its advanced ticketing, that makes it a bit of a more, like, attractive option for people. So, but the thing is that after I published that story, so this is all because of the story that I published. I'm kidding. I'm going to cut that out. Maybe I won't. Whatever.
Now you're going to leave that in.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so after Cinemia launched its like $4.99 a month plans, so it was like $4.99 for one movie, $6.99 for two movies a month, and so forth. They saw a lot of demand, and they were having a really hard time meeting that demand in terms of actually shipping those membership cards to people so that they could start using their services. Meanwhile, on Twitter, people are getting super upset because they're like, hey, you already charged my credit card, because they charge you for the full year. Like, you already charged my credit card like $80-something, and it's been 2 weeks since I signed up. You told me it was going to be 7 days. Where's my movie membership card? So that's...
And these people can't go to the movies until they get their card.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. Yeah, and I'm one of those people.
You're like, I'm trying to see Solo.
Except for maybe, it depends. We'll see.
I'm not going to see it.
But yeah, I'm one of those people. I haven't gotten my card yet either. But today, Cinemia, I don't even know if I'm saying that right anymore. So Cinemoid or Cinematronics or whatever you want to call it, they launched cardless ticketing, which means that you don't need a card. You don't need to wait for them to send you a membership card in order to see a movie. Now you can just like bust open the app, call it a day, go see the movie.
So I don't understand. I was reading this story. I don't understand why, if they don't require you to have to be in person at the movies, they require you to have a card.
Yeah, that didn't make
sense. Just give you a number. What I also thought was interesting was like, oh yeah, it's called cardless. We were going to do this anyways.
Yeah.
But we've just accelerated the release, the launch of this feature. Yeah, right.
Honestly, because it seems so obvious. Like, how could it not have been something that they were thinking about or wanting to do?
Nobody needs another card. We exchange money. I've just downloaded the Cash App. We exchange money from in Venmo and all these things. We online banking and here's this little movie thing. It's like, it reminds me of a Blockbuster card.
Mm.
Remember Blockbuster?
Yeah.
You're not that young? Okay.
So I used to, I loved their popcorn. It had just such good fake butter.
Yeah.
So good.
Really grossed me out though, those containers that had the video, I'm
because people, who knows what people were doing with that shit,
right? Well, or just touching it with their grubby hands, and then you're like, it's like when you go to a restaurant and they give you the menus,
yeah, and they're all with all the plastic. Okay, we're off topic. Plastic,
yeah,
menus.
It's gross. So, anyways, and here's this company's giving you cards. So, I mean, fine, do the Cinemia thing, go see your movies, but basically it failed because of demand, which is not a bad problem, but it also pissed off its customers.
Yeah.
Right. So, but to its credit, it was a very, very quick fix.
True that.
Right. And that's, you know, that's good. It's a good thing. It's paying attention to its users.
Yeah. And what happened? I mean, cause shout out to that person who kind of flagged it for me. This was just someone on Twitter who DM'd me and was just like, hey, there's all these people who are really upset. Like, I'm one of them. Like, you should look into this. Like, I found out about it through TechCrunch and I was like, oh shit, this is my fault. I gotta find out what's happening. So then I'm just looking at like my audio spikes and they just really went up. So anyway, but yeah, so then that's when I reached out to the company and I'm just like, hey, what's going on? And yeah, but yeah, and then within a week,
yeah,
that's now no longer an issue.
Yeah, and they, I guess they don't have to give people refunds, but people can start seeing movies now.
Yeah, some people did ask for refunds though. They didn't give any, but
people
asked.
Did ask for it. Well, they will probably,
people always ask for refunds
before they thought that the company was gonna right its wrong.
Yeah, because people were just like, "Is this company scamming us?"
Yeah.
Like, it
well,
wasn't.
Look, let's be honest. That name
sounds like a scam.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good on you, Cinemia.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
Cinema.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's spelled S
I
N E M I A.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, so Tinder's back in the news. Ooh-wee. There's a segue.
Yeah, whatever.
Have you ever used Tinder?
Yeah.
I haven't. I downloaded it once and I was on it for an hour and I was like, nope.
Yeah, it's one of those apps
not for me.
Where I'll download it, swipe, 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 and be like, so I feel like, oh my God, where did this hour go? And then I delete the app. And then 3 days later, it's like, swipe, swipe, swipe. Like, it's,
yeah.
But I haven't been on Tinder in over a year at this point.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm never going to be on it, but, yeah. Or the other apps either.
The Boom Blaze.
For that matter. But what Tinder did was release this or launch this test of this feature it's calling Places, which you, I'm going to say some things. You interrupt me. Let me know if I'm wrong. But okay. Basically, Sarah Perez needs to, who wrote the article, needs to probably be in here saying if I'm wrong. But it, first of all, it's opt-in, right?
No.
Okay. So it's opt-out. Excellent.
It's opt-out.
Why don't you tell Star? No, basically, here's what I understand. Being somebody who doesn't use an app like this, it's basically wants the users to be able to have their location data displayed on their profiles. So if there's a match with somebody who is in your vicinity or who frequents the areas you frequent, it's, oh, hey, you guys go to Starbucks. You guys should match, because that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like you guys have both gotten thrown out of a Starbucks bathroom. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So what do you, there's some funny things about this. There's a lot more serious things about this, as Sarah raised in her article about, you know, somebody who's a really dedicated stalker can track if they see somebody who's rejected them or they see somebody that they really like, they can kind of like watch where they're going over the course of a number of days, because we should note that Tinder waits a while. It's not like you're here getting coffee at a Phil's. It doesn't show.
Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, this person
is here
also right
now.
Here.
Right. It doesn't do that. It waits. It waits a bit of time. Was it a half hour? I think it said it waited a bit of a time. And then so after that, so then you've left with your coffee and your mint mojito. And your profile shows that you've been to this Phil's or whatever. So, mm-hmm. Oh, there's a match. Oh, this. I really need to meet her because she goes to Phil's and so do I. This logic is not following with me, but anyways, as you can tell. So, and it will only keep that location data for 28 days. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're in a year. If you're still on Tinder after a year, your profile is plotted with all these little areas in your neighborhood. But like after, you know, on day 27, as Sarah pointed out, if somebody really wants to kind of find out where you do hang out, mm-hmm. if this stuff is available on your profile, somebody can, I don't know, maybe look around, which is, it's just, it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What do you think about the feature?
So the thing is that you can also delete the places. Mm-hmm. Like you'll, cause Tinder will notify you like, hey, like we've added this place to your like profile or whatever.
Yep.
You can delete it if you don't want it there. So there's that. But also, I mean, I think when I first read about this, I was under the impression that it'd be like, oh, like you and so are within like a few feet of each other, maybe meet. Wouldn't be down for that. But thankfully, it's not that. It's more so, because I mean, I more so like to think of the example of not necessarily a coffee shop, which is just like, it. I mean, that's literally open to everyone. Like, I don't think at least I would necessarily find a potential match just because they also go to Phil's, because a lot of people go to Phil's and a lot of people like aren't matches for me, I'd imagine. But I'm thinking of more like obscure places. And the one that I can think of right now is like this arcade over on like Divisadero called the Emporium with like air hockey and arcade games. So that would signal to me like, oh, like this person also likes playing arcade games and whatnot, as opposed to, oh, this person also drinks coffee. Like, cool. So does literally everyone else.
Yeah. And then I guess MoMA, got your MoMAs.
Yeah.
Your
bowling alleys, your laser tag places.
So far, those are things that I would not. MoMA, so, yes. But
yeah.
Not laser tag, probably. Maybe once.
Or like a paintball place. Or no, like an A's game.
An A's game, yes.
A Warriors game. No. You're like, oh.
Not a Warriors game.
Okay. So an A's game.
No, so I think, so when you're talking about, yeah, we having things in common, but there's also this whole aspect of when you're dating somebody, it's like you like to discover the things mm-hmm. organically that they like.
And you don't have,
or, well, I've never done that before. Let me give it a try. This is obviously very contrived. This mm-hmm. it's not like this. You can delete places if it tracks you there. You can not participate in it, I think. You can whatever, right? And that's fine. And I think ultimately the deal breakers are not, it's not gonna be places. If you all can have 10 things in common and still not like each other. And mm-hmm. it's really, as Sarah points out, it's the chemistry or right. the not chemistry. Also, you know, there's this fate, destiny thing that these dating apps take out of dating.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've accepted that, yeah, you can troll through a profile and you go hang out with a whole bunch of people. Because why not? It's fun. There's a whole yeah. bunch of people in the world. It's harder to meet people, et cetera. But then when you add this other little element to it, it just kind of feels like, huh, I might swipe right is you like them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I might swipe right on this person because they too like to go to the Emporium.
Mm-hmm.
But if they like to go to a bunch of places like, oh, I don't know, a firing range, church every Sunday, maybe I'll swipe left.
The police station. I don't know. Maybe they're a cop.
So that's an interesting point. I actually like this feature now, I'm realizing, as a way to weed people out, not as a way to try to match with somebody.
I don't know if you can do it that way. Like, I wonder if you could.
If there are places that you don't want to ever go to and this person frequents them or something and it shows up, I would definitely be like, nope, swipe left.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't use dating apps, so whatever. It's a moot point. But, the stalking thing is real. You know,
right.
I actually went back and forth with Sarah a little bit about it yesterday, who wrote the article on mm-hmm. this. And she, it's really serious, especially, you know, there's people who don't think about it. There's people who have been stalked and this could raise their hair a little bit. But in the article, the developer of the actual feature is a woman. And she pointed out, would I be comfortable using this? She said yes. She mm-hmm. also works for Tinder and created the feature. So.
Right.
But yeah, I think... she also was saying in the article that, what is her name? Samantha Stevens. She's a director of location products at Tinder. She was saying, you know, if you match with somebody who you know goes to the same places, it, you know, it strikes a different kind of a tone in the date, and you're like, oh, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I guess that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's true. But there's also that element of discovery that, I don't know, it's not totally taken away. No, you can still all talk about other things.
Right.
But I just think those little points to try to convince people to use it are a little thin.
Yeah. And I mean, what Tinder is trying to do is further differentiate itself from the likes of Bumble and OkCupid and just...
though which I copied guess, Tinder with the swiping stuff. I don't know about Bumble, but I know OkCupid.
Well, yeah. And I mean, and Bumble definitely copied it too. Like, literally everyone copied that from Tinder. Like, the swiping functionality. But yeah, so I think Tinder is just trying to say, hey, like, we also have this cool new feature. But granted, right now it's only... like they're testing it in just like three cities, like two in
Sydney
Australia,
and Brisbane,
yeah,
both cities I've lived in,
yeah, and then one in Chile,
yeah,
so
Santiago,
yeah,
so yeah, I mean it's yeah, so the differentiation, and there's also the ones the dating apps that are going to have to come up and they're still going to be developed after this, and the specialized dating apps, and you know, I need a farmer dating app or whatever. So
I need a farmer.
There's like a dating app for farmers. If you're looking for a farmer, I've seen that.
If you're looking for a farmer or a farmer to date,
both. I think both. Like, huh. I'm a farmer. I don't know. I saw commercials for it. It's weird. Okay. It's not weird. I love farmers, but it's just like, God, that's
yeah, they're
okay.
Getting
Cupid
very specific. Yeah.
So
there are like sober dating apps and stuff.
Which is yeah. I mean, yeah, that's great. That right. So there's gender dating apps for gender nonconforming. Whatever, so
yeah,
it's a lot. There's a lot of people in the world who need to meet, and sometimes they can't without an app, and sometimes they can.
Yeah.
And so let's trust our destinies, follow our hearts. I don't know. Shut up, Henry. All right, so let's get off of Tinder because it's a little. Whenever your place, your location is used to attract something, it could feel a little off. And there are probably people who really don't give a shit about it. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a creepy aspect of it, but it seems like the people who have tested it so far don't seem to mind it, is what the article says. But something that's really creepy, and we know, we've been hearing about it since home assistants have been developed,
mm-hmm.
Alexa being the first one. I think, is being afraid that we're being listened to. I have a Google Home.
Same.
Do you have an
you
Alexa?
Have a home.
I have a home that I sometimes call Siri. And sometimes I call my watch Google. It's weird. Anyways, this couple in Portland, Oregon, a couple of weeks ago, this woman was sitting at home and she got a call from one of her husband's employees, and he said, you need to turn off your Alexa, you're being hacked, or unplug your Alexa, mm-hmm. you're being hacked. And it turns out Alexa was listening to their conversation, which we found out later, thankfully, it was about hardwood floors.
Right.
But it took that clip of that conversation and sent it to this employee of her husband's. And you know they had dots in every room,
right? Yeah, they had them all throughout the house.
Yeah, and then the big Alexa, which it's a little excessive. If you're
maybe they have a huge house.
That's fine.
Right.
But it, yeah. So Amazon was saying this is very rare. It's not happened before. They didn't get back to Danielle, who is the woman's name. She never disclosed her last name, which is good for her privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Amazon said that this is so rare, it's never happened. They're going to investigate. But somebody was saying that one of the report out of Portland was saying that maybe at some point they said, send this to Bill. I don't know. And then it did it. But a specific audio file, I don't understand that
yeah.
part. And when did it start and stop and
right.
send? I mean, that's freaky.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because, I mean, people use their homes to talk shit about people. And then...
Wait. People use their devices? or their homes.
Their homes.
They're not their Google homes.
Right.
Because I never talk shit about people to my Google home. That's actually something I don't use that for.
You're like, hey, Google, you'll never believe what Johnny did at the playground.
Well, unless you're lonely, which is also perfectly fine. One time, did I tell you this? One time I asked, have I mentioned this? I think this is going to make me sound really sad and pathetic, but I'm not. But I said, hey, Google, tell me good night.
Oh, yeah. No. And then you've done it several times.
A few times. And it's like, good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. And if they do, I can call
an exterminator
for you. And I was like, all right, well played. Good night, Google.
See, I wish we could have the talk back with Google Home.
Is that with Alexa?
Yeah. With Alexa, you can like actually have a conversation.
Have you ever done that?
I don't have an Alexa, so no.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll
try. You can like do like the follow-up responses and questions.
Well, I'll say thank you to Siri, and she doesn't never say you're welcome. So right. I would, with all of these, I'd like for that to happen, but I'm not going to get a HomePod.
Oh, right.
The Apple, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I feel like we got off topic a little bit.
It's fine.
But I guess just with, because I mean, my thing, about like talking shit about people in your home. So like a horrible scenario could have been like these people are, you know, just shooting the shit, gossiping about
that employee.
Right. And then somehow Alexa decides to send it to them. Like, I mean,
that
could have been
like artificial intelligence robot shit. When if they didn't tell Alexa to send it, imagine this. Oh, I'm going to send this to
like evil
employee. Evil Alexa. Can you imagine evil Alexa?
Bad Janet. Hashtag good place.
Hashtag good place.
That's a good show for
great
all y'all.
Great show.
Seen it.
Great show. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, imagine that scenario though. But yeah, if this device is just like picking up things at random and sending, but that's not what went on here.
Mm-hmm.
What went on here was that there was some kind of a trigger, and it just reacted to a command. Devin, who wrote the article about it on TechCrunch, because they had so many different devices, maybe mm-hmm. one of the other ones picked something up and then sent this boring conversation about hardwood floors. I'm sure hardwood floors are exciting to some people, but
yeah, to be honest, I didn't even know that was a feature where I guess you could say, "Hey Alexa, record this conversation starting now," and then send it to someone.
We should try it with the home.
Yeah, like that just
Let's try
seems
it tonight.
Like I just don't understand why you would do that.
Yeah.
Or like as opposed to just like calling someone.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
saying like, "Hey Alexa, just call this person so I can say this thing."
So Amazon has been in the news this week, not only because of Alexa, but also because of this program called Recognition, which it launched in 2016. You and I aren't going to talk about it today. I just want to mention it to you all out there, because hopefully in a few weeks we can get a guest on, civil liberties lawyer, to talk about this program, which is Amazon Web Services facial recognition technology. And Amazon has sold this technology to law enforcement departments in Florida and Oregon. And the ACLU of Northern California got some documents and found out what they're doing. So we will hope to get somebody from the ACLU of Northern California in here in the studio to talk to us about it. Because it's, you know, when technology is created, it's used for good, it's used for bad. Megan's got some feelings. We're going to take some time to, and I've got some feelings about it. We're going to take some time.
Yeah, I still need to collect my thoughts around
it. Yeah, I'm going to talk to Frederick Lardinois about it as well. One of our writers, because I was talking about it today, actually, and I was like, but this is a little shady, right? He's like, well, you know, yeah, this part is shady. This part is not, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, but when technology gets into the hands of people looking for people, you know, they steal you. It's like civil liberties.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. Be careful what you say to Alexa. Megan and I are going to take off. We're going to take off next week. Because you've got to travel.
Yeah, I'm going to the Code Conference.
Cool, in LA, right?
Ranchos Palos Verdes. Maybe the bougiest name I've ever heard.
Yeah. So. It's pretty bougie. It's fine, whatever. But I'm glad you're going. You're going to write a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
Cool.
Totally.
We're going to be gone all week, so we're going to skip next week. We'll be back the week after next with another episode.
Awesome.
Control T.
Yep. Catch
All right, folks. Bye.